and welcome to Interactive Distractions. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Yo! How's it
and
going?
And Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And we are back after a week of hiatus, and bitches!
Whew!
This is episode number 290.
Oh my god!
Wow. I know, we're slowly approaching that 300 mark. 14 weeks away for 10 more episodes? Something like that.
Wow.
Seems like we've been skipping episodes every once in a while now, so. We'll put that in there for safety's sake. Anyway, today we are going to be talking about Evo and possibly throwing in some other, professional gaming tournaments that may happen around depending on, where the conversation goes. Before that, we'll do distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before that, Jason, I haven't talked to you in like 2 weeks, dude.
Dude, it's been so long and I've missed you guys.
How's it going?
Oh my god. Really, really, really well right now because.
Is your air conditioner fixed? Because I know that was a big thing.
Yeah, it is not 85 degrees in my little sweat box anymore.
That is a good thing.
Dude, that 85 degrees is really hot.
Especially indoors. When it is indoors, it is really fucking hot, dude.
Not fun at all. That sucks super bad. I got kind of used to it. Like I had a good system, like this nice array of fans and stuff. And it was like super loud all the time, but I just put on headphones.
How many fans?
There were 3 fans.
And one of them was pointed at your crotch. Where were the other two?
I stopped wearing underwear and I wore baggy shorts and I could just kind of open up the side of the shorts and just let the air flow in. Oh, that was nice.
That is how you deal with 85 degrees in your house.
Yes. So we barely got through it. Let's see. Oh, Days of Goo is coming up. I'm going to be doing that very soon. In less than 24 hours.
I was going to say, you're leaving tomorrow.
Yeah. Early tomorrow morning. Going to go hang out with Scott Sauer.
I am so jealous. I'm sad.
You should be, dude. It's going to be a good time. And I have like no responsibilities. I love it.
That's
like
even better.
Work-wise.
Which is one of the reasons I wanted to go because it'd be nice to actually go to an event and not have to do shit.
Yeah, exactly. So. But yeah, I busted my ass at work to get everything done beforehand. All right. Okay. I've got a nice job. Whatever. Okay. But it's still work sometimes and it gets frustrating at times when you're dealing with like.
Wait, you don't just sit there and play video games at work and then just record them?
God, I wish I could, but so our recording setup, which is, you know, what I'm responsible for, we're running. All right. Here's an analogy. So your tire blows, right? And you've got your spare tire, but your spare tire only lets you go 25 miles an hour instead of like 80, right? So. Tire blew.
I'm following.
And wait, two tires blew. So I'm going 25 miles an hour on a spare, but I still have to use the original tire, but it's patched up with duct tape. And that's kind of my recording setup right now. And, so I had that going on as well as trying to get everything done so I wouldn't have to take any work home with me. Cause I normally bring home work. You know, I'm working on the weekends and shit like that. It's a six day work week. Anyway. So yeah, I got all that shit done, but then we piled on like a bunch of test chambers and shit. And it's just like fucking A. I've been working 12-hour days for like the past 3 days just so I could go hang out with Scott and enjoy myself, but it's happening. I can't fucking wait. It's going to be so good. And my AC's fixed. And I had an amazing poop earlier and
are the best.
I am so happy right now. Top.
Well, good.
That.
We'll do it our best to make sure you don't feel like that by the end of the show.
What you got, Jeff?
I've had this week off from work, which is awesome.
Ooh.
Well, I've had since last Friday off since work, I guess. To go a little bit up north, east to a cottage. So that was a lot of fun. There's like about 6 of us up there. The first day was kind of weird. We were driving up there. We hit kind of like a storm. And then once we get on like the dirt road going to the cottage, we're like, hey, this isn't too bad. We're going to get there in another like 10 minutes. And then we come to a gigantic tree that fell over in the storm.
I saw pictures of this. This is crazy.
It was nuts. It was like exactly how a horror movie would start. Because then we're waiting there like, well, what the fuck do we do? So I call the guy who was renting us the cottage. Luckily, he was still there. He hadn't left yet. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I'll come get you guys. I'll bring a chainsaw. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Wait for you. As we're waiting, another car pulls up from the other side of the tree. Like, dude and some girl get out and they're like, hey, how long have you been here for? Like, I don't know, 10 minutes. We got someone coming with a chainsaw. He's like, oh, okay, I got a buddy back. He has a chainsaw too. I'm going to go get him. So he leaves. And another car pulls up behind us.
Does everybody have a chainsaw?
Yeah, apparently in cottage country, everyone has a chainsaw. So, yeah, eventually the one guy did come back, and then he had a chainsaw. He cut down the tree. We rolled it into the lake and then drove up a little bit further, and we saw another guy chainsawing, like, trees and shit. So I've never met the guy we rented the cottage at, so I have no idea what this guy looks like or anything. So we stop the car. He walks towards us, chainsaw in hand. Like, oh, this is it. This is it, T. Say, get your camera going, at least, you know, we got some cool YouTube videos or something. And he comes out, he's like, hey, Jeff. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, is this the tree you're talking about? I'm like, no, there's another big ass tree just around the corner. He's like, yeah, he had to cut through this other tree to get there. So after that happens, we get there, power's out, trees are ripped out everywhere, big gigantic tree ripped out in front of the cottage, which luckily didn't fall on it, because that would have caused a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And we had basically no power for the first 3 or 4 days. But the people were nice enough because they live in a town called Pickering, which is probably about 2 hours away from where the cottage was. And he said, well, usually when the power goes out, it's back on within like, you know, 3 hours or so. Power never came back on. So we called him the next day. We're like, hey, listen, there's like no power. And we're fine with it. We're up in like the north. We don't care about power because we're spending all the time outside anyway during the day. Right. But what we're worried about is our food because we brought like
in the fridge,
food
yeah.
And yeah, we have nothing to keep it cool or anything like that. So. Him and his wife went out and bought a generator for the cottage and brought it all the way back up and like hooked it up and everything. So we could at least get the fridge re-cooled down and the freezer frozen again. So yeah. And then after that happened, it was just, you know, all drinks, food and laying down by the dock and shit and a lot of fun. A friend of ours
almost
got eaten by a gigantic snapping turtle, which is fun.
Those things are dangerous, man.
Dude, it was the biggest thing I've ever seen. Like it was, like, girls are kind of, like, screamy when they get into a lake anyway, and anything, like, brushes up against them or, you know, seaweed or something. And my buddy's wife was in there, and I heard her scream, and this lake was, like, crystal clear. Like, you could see, like, the bottom as long as it was, like, you know, like, 8 feet or so. And I look
That's
over,
awesome.
And then I don't say anything at first, and I see this big thing float out from under her, and this thing was probably about, the shell was probably about 2 feet long, but with its head stretched out and its tail, it was, like, 4 feet long. It was crazy huge. Yeah, it just kind of swam by her and then like came up and got air and it was kind of crazy. So we're not positive with a snapping turtle, but they had a book in the cottage, like wildlife around there and all these different kinds of turtles. And it looked like what the snapping turtle looked like in the picture book. So I was like, damn. But yeah, it was fun. It was good times. Got back on Tuesday and then it's been kind of vegging out for the last few days. So I'm going to be ready for some fighting games tonight if you're up for it because.
Oh, maybe. Oh, man. I got to pack.
We'll see when we get done with this, right?
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Chris.
Cool. Yeah, not a whole lot going on over here. Work is at full speed. We finished we had our second deadline. Actually, our team got all of our stuff done, 100% completion on our deadline, so that was good. So it's been a very, very busy week at work, but it's been very rewarding, so I'll say that.
Nice.
Other than that, you know, it's been, things are getting better with mom, which is, important.
Awesome.
I didn't really let it out of what's exactly is going on. It's pretty much out there on Facebook now. So, for those that are not in the know, my mother has lung cancer. She smoked for a long time, probably from the age of 21 up until she was about, early 60s, she smoked.
Okay.
She stopped about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And she, you could tell that she was starting to get better. And then it just kind of built up, over the past 3 or 4 months. And it's a small cell cancer. So it grew very, very quickly. The good thing about that is that even though it grew very, very quickly, they caught it early and they can treat it very quickly as well. So as quickly as it can spread, it can be killed that quickly as well. Mm-hmm. So she's gone through, it's been about a month now. So she goes through 3 days of treatment, and then she's off for 3 weeks. So she had her second treatment this week. You know, things are, it is working. We know for a fact that it is working.
That's good.
So, you know, it's right now it's positive thoughts. She's in good spirits. We saw her over the weekend, brought the kids up to see her, and it was probably the first time that she had seen them in about 3 weeks. And she's probably, she looked better than she's looked in months. Because nice. This had been building up and, you know, she was diagnosed with like bronchitis and all this other stuff. Then it was pneumonia and it was one thing after another until it was finally like, hey, look, you have lung cancer. It's been rough. But I, you know, a lot of people know about it, especially close friends, like these guys knew about it. And I've been getting a ton of support. So I appreciate to all those out there that you know, respond via Facebook or whatever. I appreciate your support. You know, positive thoughts. Mom's doing well. So hopefully, you know, they're saying, 4 to 6 treatments. So this is her second one. So hopefully, you know, in the coming months, things are going to be better.
Yeah. That girl's going to be fine.
Yeah. I honestly believe she will be too, because, I'll be honest with you. It was one of those things where, and I kind of had to, figuratively, of course, slap her across the face. Because she wasn't eating enough. She wasn't drinking enough water, that kind of thing. So she wasn't giving her body what it needed to fight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I looked at her and I said, Mom, doesn't it piss you off? Are you not pissed off about this? And she goes, yeah. And I was like, 'cause it certainly doesn't seem like you're pissed off. This is the same disease that killed Dad. You need to be more angry and you need to focus that anger and you need to fight this shit. I don't care if it hurts to eat. I don't care if you don't like eating. You need to eat and you need to drink. And that day it just kind of clicked with her. And ever since then, she's been fighting like full steam. And, good.
She got mad.
Yeah. And that's what you need to do. I mean, it's that type of thing. I mean, you need to have your body in a position, right? You have to have your body in a position that it can fight. And, you know, she wasn't doing that up until, you know, a couple weeks ago. And, you know, now she's doing much, much better. So,
good.
You know, again, thank you everyone who gave me the support and, thank you for all the positive thoughts. I'm staying positive. We're much happier right now than we were a few weeks ago. That's for sure. So, you know, just trying to give her the support she needs to kick this thing. And that's pretty much what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a really awesome caretaker. Her caretaker is our friend Betty, and, she's actually a cancer survivor. So, it's really good because she knows exactly what my mom is going through. So that's good too.
It's gotta be deflating and depressing and, so easy to just, you know, roll over when the shit happens. So
yeah, and
it's good to hear that she's fighting back.
And that's one of the reasons that it's been great that Betty's been there too, because she has gone through it and she knows how hard it is and she knows how demoralizing it can be, and how hard it can be, especially when like the thing that brings you the most joy in your life, which right now is her grandkids, you know, and mm-hmm. you can't see them when you want to see them because your immune system is so low that. You know, if they sneeze the wrong way, you could get sick and it could, you know, ruin everything for you. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's rough. And you know, it's not something that you fuck around with. So, you know, she's doing well though. And, so that was it. I know that, you know, it may sound like it's depressing, but that's positive news for me. And that's actually, it's been a very, very good week for me. It's probably been like the best week since we found all this out was happening. So, it's been a great week and that's what I'm holding on to. So
good shit, man.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about games.
Yeah.
Who's going first?
Whoever.
I'll go.
Go,
Jason. So as I was like airing out my crotch, it was super, super hot in here. The only thing that kept me going actually was gaming. Besides, you know, the cool breeze on my penis.
Your genitalia.
but I mean, I could not.
The genitalia breeze.
I couldn't focus on anything, so I played a lot of a few different things. Well, wait, no. I played a little bit of a lot of things. How about that?
Okay, there we go. Makes sense too.
Yeah.
We've all done that before.
I have a list in no particular order. Mercenary Kings. I think
we talked
about
that.
This. Good. I'm very proud of you.
I want to talk about that.
Early access on Steam right now, still in beta or whatever. If we didn't talk about it, it pictured Metal Slug with, you know, Scott Pilgrim-esque, you know, 2D Spikes, graphics. Yeah.
And Gears of War reloading and loot system.
The active reload.
And keep in mind it is a beta because it doesn't work very well.
At times, yeah, there are some issues.
I heard the online's kind of iffy right now. But
I can't even, it's not even playable for me.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay.
It's literally, I mean, it's playable, but it's, I don't get the full effect of the game because, so like, when I first started it up, the resolution was so blown out that I only saw about, 2/3 of the screen. And it was like, it was basically, I saw the upper left corner and all the rest of the, everything that bordered around that, I didn't see any of it. So it was pretty much unplayable. So I, you know, I did my, alt enter and put it into Windows mode or windowed mode. And it was still like the border of the window was covering like, my life bar and all this other shit and the I didn't even know there was a time limit until I ran out of time and I was like, what the hell happened?
Did you think that's just how it was?
I knew there was something wrong because I couldn't see the life bar.
Okay.
And I knew there was a life bar, but I didn't know there was a timer until I ran out of time playing the game. It seems like it's going to be promising. I am a little pissed that you can't shoot diagonal. Come on. Contra did it. Let's get with it.
Yeah. Very true.
Need to shoot diagonal. Make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that coming to consoles? You haven't announced that yet, have you?
PlayStation 4 for sure.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was at their booth at E3.
Okay.
That's where I first saw it, actually. But yeah, that's aside from the bugs. But yeah, that does seem somewhat promising. I'm super excited for it, and I could not give them my money fast enough. So, if you guys go out and buy it right now, you get early access and get to play it now.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. The first, like, I think it's 60 levels out of 100 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. Rogue Legacy. Speaking of, 2D sprite games, this is obviously a roguelike game. It certainly draws inspiration from, like, you know, Symphony of the Night and, you know, Metroid and shit like that. Super brutal difficulty. The hook with this is, the roguelike elements and, you know, you play like an adventurer, you die pretty quickly. When you die, like your legacy kind of carries on to the next person. So any gold or stats or anything that you had accrued on the previous playthrough, go into the next one. It's a lot of fun and it's really, 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 really hard. Some of the, like drawbacks to, going with the next in line is, they have like defects sometimes. Like you can be colorblind and the entire screen is like monochrome or
it's called the Riccio Knight.
Exactly. Or like the entire like castle is like upside down. You have to play upside down for that run. You might play as a dwarf where you're like, you know, quite a bit faster, but you're super short. Shit like that. So,
dwarves are faster?
Dwarves are faster.
That's weird. Because
they're small. They can swing faster because they're smaller. Or you might play as a giant actually, which has like a huge fucking sword hitbox. But, you know, in turn, you're a much bigger target as well. But, definitely something to check out. I played a few hours of it and I like it a lot. I don't know if I'm going to go back to it anytime soon because I've been playing something else. Dragon's Crown. I can't say too much about it. Other than now that I've spent some time with it, I really think it's going to be a niche kind of game. There's not a lot of widespread appeal here. Jeff, you mentioned something earlier where you've been watching more videos and you're like, well,
yeah. Well, yeah, I've been hyped up for it and I love, like, I always love the art style of, those guys, what are they called? Vanillaware. Vanillaware games, and I've always liked their games, but it always comes to a part where I just feel like the whole thing with my thing is like playing it wrong or it gets way too in depth with your stats and everything, and then I just kind of fall out of sync with it. And after watching a lot of people like previews and like, you know, like 30-minute gameplay previews and stuff like that, I've just been like, it looks amazing at first, and then it gets to the point where I'm just kind of like, I don't know if it's going to be for me, but.
It's going to be a time sink, you know? There's some like modern day multiplayer sensibilities that are just like devoid in this game. You know, for example, you know, it's going to take like probably 5 to 8 hours of gameplay time before you unlock online multiplayer.
That's weird.
shit like that. That is very weird. It's very, very strange. Yeah, I don't know why that was the decision, but it is going to have cross save functionality. So if you do buy it on both systems, PS3 and Vita, you'll be able to, you know, swap back and forth, kind of like a Monster Hunter or Guacamelee. So that is cool. Absolutely love the art style. I love the music as well. Gameplay is great, but I mean, it's going to get super grindy after a while. So, it's not going to be for everybody. I'm like all in, like it's all I can think about right now, but I can see where some people might be, turned off by this.
Yeah. I think I'm still going Vita on that one though.
Okay.
I know that you said that the PS3 one is, probably the choice for just because of the very fine details.
That's true. It definitely seems like it was made for an HD resolution. And, a lot of times, when it's getting fast and frantic on the Vita version, it's so easy to lose place of where you are.
Yeah.
Cause there's not like any additional dynamic scaling to keep it, you know, kind of up close and personal.
Zoom in or zoom out.
Yeah, like exactly. So it gets a little crazy. I definitely preferred the controls and the visuals on the PS3 version, but I mean the Vita is not bad, so this is just a minor gripe, but it's something that stood out to me.
For me, it's just the you know, how would I consume this type of game? And the chances are that if it was on a big screen, I would not consume it as easily as I would if it was on my Vita. Based on my experience with Muramasa since I've gotten it. So.
Okay.
When is that out?
Next month, early next month.
And it's not cross-buy.
It's like 2 weeks. Yeah. It's not cross-buy. It's cross-save and that's it.
If it was cross-buy, I'd probably still buy it just for the hell of it. Give it a shot. But
yeah, it's
30
not.
$30 is it going to be?
40. It's 40 on the Vita, 50 on the PS3.
Okay. Crazy.
Yeah. It's not exactly
that's
budget.
A lot for two systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I have double dipped and sometimes triple dipped on other shit. So. But that's different.
Speaking of handhelds, yeah, I've been like Chris. It sounds like I've been playing a lot more handhelds than anything else, really. I talked about Project Crosszone. I finally beat that after 60 fucking hours of that game.
Dude.
Holy shit! And I'm sure I mentioned this before. Like the dialogue, I just completely fucking skipped it because it was the same every fucking stage. But man, I saw that through, man, and fucking A. I beat Project Crosszone, so suck it.
That's impressive, man. I can't remember the last time you put 60-something hours into a game.
Yeah. Crazy shit.
That's impressive.
More 3DS stuff. I'm becoming kind of a Nintendo fanboy. Like, I'm getting into those Mii titles in the Plaza. They released an update, they've got four new games, you know, aside from, like, Find Mii and the Puzzle Swap shit. There's one in particular, Wii Force, which is a shmup, actually. And it's super, 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 super fun. Whenever you street pass with somebody, they become like a module to your ship, and you can have up to 10 different modules. Each, depending on the color of their shirt, that's a different kind of weapon. So you can have like a black is like a bomb type thing, or a green is like a sticky laser, shit like that. And you can, actually adhere 10 different modules to your ship and then rotate the modules with the L and the L. God damn.
L
and the R. Thank you very much. A lot of fun to play. There's Monster Manor is kind of cool. Whenever you meet somebody in Street Pass, you get like a new puzzle piece to go further in the manor. There's Warrior's Way. Whenever you meet somebody, you get more troops and then you go on like a global domination thing. There's a flower growing simulator fucking thing, waste of money. So if you're into wasting money and flowers, absolutely go for that shit. God, so much shit. Oh, Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed. Got it on a Steam sale.
Oh, did you?
I did. And I played the fuck out of that. And what else did I get? Oh, CVS 2.
Oh, nice. Did you get on the PS2 thing for PS3?
Yeah.
And I heard it's pretty ass.
Yeah. There's fucking lag in like the menus and shit.
I've heard there's a 3-second lag if you're using, a stick.
I can't say that was the issue. I was using the stick. But there's definitely some menu lag. And playing it, it just feels a little sluggish as well. Like, it might not be a good port to something, but,
from what I've been reading, it plays absolutely fine with a pad, but once you plug in like a Mad Cat stick, that's when it has like all the input lag and just feels like shit.
Maybe that was my problem, because I was having issues like doing supers and stuff. I don't know. But
probably was.
Yeah. I can't say that it was like a 3-second lag, because that would have been super noticeable.
Well, 3 would have been crazy. But no, I was going to buy it the day it came out. Then I went out on Retroids, and people were talking about it the next day. Because for some reason, PSN, I think we talked before, they don't like to take my money. I can't, they don't like taking my credit cards.
It's weird.
So I always have to buy points cards and put it on there. Or not points cards, just PSN cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to buy one the next day for it, because it was like $10. And then everyone's like, yeah, if you plan on using a stick, don't bother. So I was like, okay. I have the Dreamcast version. It's the OG version, so I'll stick with that.
You're fine. Still, yeah. It was super nice booting it up, because it just reminded me like how much I really love that game. And it's like one of the best 2D fighters out there. It's such a shame. Like if a game deserved like an HD remake, you know, with like that online capability, man, that game would be so good.
But I would like that as well.
I mean, I think that's about it, aside from like Borderlands 2, Injustice, Street Fighter, shit like that, the normal stuff. I had a pretty full couple weeks. Let's have Jason stop talking.
All right, Jeff, what do you got from Jeff?
Some Injustice with some news we're going to talk about later. I played Strider 1 and 2. Played through those.
Played through them? Like, you finished them both?
Well, yeah, they're easy to beat on the PS1. Strider 2 comes with 1, and it has, like, pretty much infinite continues. And Strider 2 is easy as shit, because you literally continue right where you died.
Yeah.
So, it's not that bad. Started playing some Bionic Commando Rearmed also because of that. I was like, I'm gonna play a little bit of this. And that game's still good. It's still fun.
The first one is awesome. First one is awesome.
Yeah, I never played the second one. But
the second one's there.
It is.
It is there. It is a thing.
Played some Assassin's Creed 2 because I was bored yesterday, and I gave my copy to someone. Well, I didn't give. I lent it to somebody like years ago and have not got it back yet. So I was like, that's free on Xbox Live. I'm just going to download
it. Oh, that's why you were playing it. Okay.
Yeah. So I played that. I actually played quite a bit of that, actually. Put in a good like 4 or 5 hours, actually. Within like 2 days. That's still good. The cutscenes in that game do not hold up visually that well. It sure shows you how far this generation has got with like cutscenes and stuff. The game itself still looks pretty nice, but the cutscenes are kind of like, ooh, weird. And then today, I was bored and I was just out for walking around and stuff, and I grabbed actually Azura's Wrath because I wanted to play that for a long time. And I probably should have picked it up, because Capcom had a big sale on Xbox Live last week, and I think it was $10. And I didn't pull the trigger then, and then I saw it today at the store for like, it was $25 or $24.99. I managed to talk the guy down to $20. Because I was like, hey man, it's $10 on Xbox Live, and it was like a mom and pop shop type place, so. He's like, alright, well if you pay cash, I'll give it to you for $20. I'm like, alright, cool. So, just that. And that game's pretty cool. It's not really something I would like gameplay-wise, because it's very quick-timey events.
What?
It's like...
What?
Yeah, it's just like quick... I don't like stuff like Heavy Rain and stuff like that, and that's pretty much what the game is, except for every once in a while you get, you know, those points where it's kind of like a very, very mashy character action game. Like, I don't even know if you can die in the game yet, because I have not yet died, and I've played through about the first
I don't know either.
Episodes. So, but everything that's wrapped around that, like the crazy over-the-top anime style, just like Saturday morning
super
cartoon,
spectacular.
Like everything's just so crazy, like it's so entertaining. I'm like, okay, if you're going to give me a game that's like that, like not too much gameplay, mostly like interactive cinematics, this is how I want it to be. Something ridiculously crazy. Not something that's like trying to be like real life and be like, oh, I'm going to go have a shower and move my controller up and down to move the nozzle of the shower head. That's not fun. you know, busting out your six arms and beating someone to a pulp is fun.
That's fun cool. too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I recommend it. I think it's, one of those things I think a lot of people passed up on, including me. I really didn't like the demo when that came out, like before it came out, but so many people said it's good. I should try it and figured why not? I had some time to kill today and I have tomorrow off too. I'll probably burn through the rest of it tomorrow. But I like it. I'm kind of bummed that I'm kind of hoping, but even though Ono came out and said that he's not going to be the new character in Ultra Street Fighter 4, it'd kind of cool if he was. He'd kind of fit in there.
He kind of would. Might be
yeah.
right there.
But yeah, that's it. That's pretty much everything.
I'd not say. Bad.
All right. Yep. Let's see. What do I have to add? More Star Trek. I hit the level cap.
It's probably
it's the first time that's ever happened in an MMO. So, yeah, still playing that.
What happens
whether to
now,
say
though?
Congrats or
what happens now? Well, now there's like all the raid missions and stuff that I can continue to do if I want to. And
that's a dirty dark hole.
Yeah, I think I hit the level cap, and that's like one of those things. It's like, all right, I reached my goal, and you know, it's actually since that happened, it's been harder for me to go back to the game. So that's very common for me, commonplace for me in this situation. It's like. I have a goal. I want to get to that goal. And once I hit it, it's like, okay, now what? You know, so it's, you know, it's nothing to say against the game. That's just that's the kind of gamer I am. The fact is I've put over 100 hours into it and it's free to play and I haven't paid a dime. So got my nice. Money's worth on that one.
Yeah, totally.
I'm kidding.
A lot more Muramasa. So I beat the game with, Kasuki. And then I started going back and playing it, to actually do all the K's of Evil. And, so after you beat it, you can go back and you can open up all the white barriers. So, I actually went back and did all those, the K's of Evil with, Momohime. And you can actually go into like the boss stages for the other character after that. So finished all of those with Momohime and now I'm going through it with, Kasuki again. So I fucking love playing this game on the Vita. I think I'm pretty close to 30 hours into Muramasa right now.
Damn.
Nice. And that's kind of what is pushing me towards getting, Dragon's Crown on the Vita because I know that I can just as easily pick that up and play it, as I can with Muramasa. So I just know it's going to end up being that kind of game.
For Dragon's Crown, I know you said it's cross save, but is it also cross play?
No.
Oh.
Definitely yeah. not. Yeah. Chris, I'm running into like some slowdown and frame rate issues too on the Vita version. I gotta say.
I have no doubt that PS3 is the better version of the game. It's just that I know that I won't consume it if it's on PS3. Not as much as I would on the Vita. Cause on the Vita, it's like, okay, so I'm going to get to, let me finish my distractions list and then you'll find out why I wouldn't get to it. So we already talked about Mercenary Kings. So I'll continue to play that once it comes out. You know, we need to get back to playing Borderlands again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so
definitely.
We need to do Borderland Mondays. That's mm-hmm. Monday is our night. So Monday, every Monday we need to play Borderlands. Are we agreed on this?
Sounds good to me.
All right. That's a thing now. So, you know, we didn't play this past Monday. Actually I don't think we played the Monday before either, but
no, it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. So this coming Monday, we're playing some Borderlands.
We have a free spot because Glenn never fucking plays.
That's right. So if somebody is around level, what level are we? 14?
11?
I think we're closer
around
to 14.
Somewhere between 11 and 14. Actually, yeah, we're definitely around 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we've done like one set of missions out of Sanctuary and gone back and that's about it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. So if you got a character around there, I think, I'm using, the Mechromancer. Jeff, you're using the Siren. And, Jason's using the Psycho. So.
Krieg sucks. I do not like him, but I'm going to stick with
him. It's
funny
because you did the same thing when we started doing our Borderlands 1 with Brick. You were like, oh, this is going to be so fun. And then you were like, he sucks.
Yep.
But, the other game I've been playing a lot of is, DMC. I nabbed that off of the, I nabbed that off of the summer sale and, my God, that game is fucking beautiful on PC.
I know.
It is so fucking gorgeous. And I went into the settings and I'm like, let's just give this a shot. I put it on ultra. 60 frames. I'm like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't take a lot to run at all.
God, it's so good.
Okay. I love it. It looks fantastic. It plays great. I'm not that far into it. I think I've gone through the first two chapters. So I still have a long way to go, but, I love like the, so far, I gotta say, I'm kind of into what's going on in the story. It's like, I'm actually a feeling for Dante and his situation with his family. It's like, I want to know what's going to happen, and I kind of want to kick this guy's ass, you know? So, you know, it definitely brought that on for me. Yeah, the combat's great, and it's very easy flowing, and
I can't wait. DMC's the game of the year this year. I'm telling you.
Well,
telling you.
I'm not going to say that yet, but it's definitely a very good game.
If we do the rating system, like number wise, oh yeah, I think we got this.
I ended up paying $25 for it, off the Steam sale. So that's nice. That's not too bad. I'm pretty happy with that.
Yes. That's all right.
It's definitely worth that much money, I would say. But, outside of that, I think that's it.
That's it.
So it's been a lot of, the big things this time around was, finishing up with Star Trek. I think I'm done. I'll probably play it once in a while just to go in and, you know, play a few missions because the ship combat's just super satisfying. And then, lots of Muramasa. So. Cool.
Not bad.
Let's do some news.
Do-do-do news.
Go for it, Jeff.
Strider, motherfuckers!
Hell yeah! I'm excited. I'm a little worried about
Double Helix.
I'm a little worried about Double Helix, but you know what? We'll see what happens.
I'm not worried at all. I'm a little bit worried.
We got nothing to worry about. It looks great. Like the trailers that we've seen with the gameplay.
Yeah, it does. It looks like I'm hearing Metroidvania. Awesome. What?
Yeah, that's when I heard that. That's like, I remember like a couple years ago when someone asked what would you want to see rebooted and how, and that was like my thing. Strider in a Metroidvania type gameplay, like environments. And yes!
I think have to do that nowadays. Like, if you do game.
You can't really do that. You have to have something that's going to get you some more playtime out of it. Because, straight up arcade game like Strider, I mean, you put, an hour or two into it and you're done. You know, that's not going to fly.
Or they could have totally fucked it up and made it a character action game.
This is why I think DuckTales is going to flop.
I think so. Why? Because it's going to be like,
only the nostalgia factor there. You know, there's nothing really new to look forward to.
DuckTales.
Ooh, yeah, I know.
Awesome, awesome game. Everybody listening to this podcast, if you don't buy DuckTales, then you hate games. That's all there is to it. You hate games.
Well, I can see what Jay's kind of saying because, like, when I did go back and play Strider 1 and 2, I will admit I wasn't that engaged either. I was just kind of playing through like, oh, okay, remember this part. But it really is. And the levels are very, very short in that game. And they don't really hold your attention. I was just going through it, especially too.
Kind of like DuckTales. I'm not trying to hate, but.
No, you're just being realistic.
The game's pretty short. I mean, I don't know. There's not a lot going on there.
Flashback, same thing.
I'm still buying it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still
You know what?
It.
I'm still buying it too. For real. I don't think there's, going to be a lot of people that do that, so we'll see how it goes.
And yeah, Double Helix, they're the ones doing it, but I've seen so many stuff. It's like all the stuff on Killer Instinct looks legit, and watching they had like a panel at Evo, it was like an hour and a half, and I watched that entire thing, and they didn't mention Strider because it wasn't announced yet, but they did say they have like another project that they're working on that they're really passionate about, and they even said, like, all their other projects beforehand were so time-constrained, and they're all licenses, and these have been totally two different things. Although, I'm sure Killer Instinct is going to be a little bit of a time constraint.
Yeah, there's time constraint there. But
yeah, but they've been working on it for a while, and they're all fighting game people. So
that's the one thing that's keeping me hopeful. Because it's like, I know that that Double Helix hasn't really had a great track record, but they haven't been given the best of opportunities.
No.
So
and
it's like,
not coming out 2014, which is kind of pissy in a way for me. I was kind of hoping for this fall. That would have been the perfect like,
somehow
day
I'm
one
feeling
download.
Somehow I'm feeling some of our summer of arcade time.
Yeah, that might make sense. They said 2014, and either way, I was happy when I first saw that gameplay video, and then I saw like the 10 minutes gameplay video or whatever, 8 minutes of it, and I was like, this looks like fucking Strider, but you get different weapons because Metroidvania, you upgrade stuff, and I just he does all the crazy flips while he's jumping and grapples onto shit. I was like, this this is it. This is good. This is going to be good, right, guys? This is going to be awesome.
I'm holding out hope.
This isn't going to be fucking Moondiver 2.0.
It's not going to be too human, right?
Oh, God. I hope not. Another game we don't have to wait too much longer for, well, if you want to play it on consoles, is Diablo 3. It's hitting PS3 on September 4th. That's not really news. The news is they announced it's also coming out on 360, which I think all of us said way back. It's probably the case. It's going to
be. They also announced that it is not a launch game for the PS4.
It's being delayed.
Yeah, it's being delayed. So that pretty much solidifies that if I do get it, which it looks like I'm going to, I'll be getting it on PS3. Yeah, I think I'm going to get it. I'm going to double dip on it because I think that we were talking Extra Life playthrough. I think me and John and Scott were talking about that. So, I have a feeling that we're all going to be getting it on PS3. So that's going to be what we're going to do.
And how much upgrade would it actually be on PS4, Xbone, or 360 and PS4?
Yeah. And in reality, I think that, whatever I would get on PS4 is going to be exactly the way I could see it on the PC. So, I have a feeling that the PS3 will be a slight downgrade, but, yeah, resolution wise, and I think there'll be some detail that's lost. You know, I think there'll be a little bit that's lost, but I do think that, I do think I will enjoy that game more with a controller for sure.
Word. Microsoft, they're going in the habit right now of doing a 180 on stuff and just changing up their shit. And they changed up another thing this week where they remove the publisher restrictions and requirements for indie games. So, indie games no longer have to have a publisher, which was something they said they needed like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or a few days ago, I guess, even.
Yeah, yeah. But this is unusual because, well, I'm just surprised I'm surprised that all of this is happening before the launch of the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for this one, you know, I know, Jeff, I know that you say a lot of,
Changed
your mind because of pre-orders. This is all about voices heard.
Yeah, this one I 100% think is voice heard because I don't think the indie market is big enough for them to make that change before they launch. Like, I know it's a big market on like PC especially, but on consoles, it's not ridiculously huge by any means. I wouldn't even say it's huge.
But that's the thing. It's like when you look at how many indie games that PS4 already has in development, you know, that they've already announced are coming out. I mean, there's like a dozen, 20 games, something like that, that are all under the indie label. And, you know, they talked about putting an actual indie channel on the Vita and stuff like that. And I mean, they're getting a lot of buzz and a lot of credit for that. And I think that Microsoft's like, we need to get some of that.
Yeah. It's going to be bullet point. They're going to try to get every bullet point for bullet point thing they can.
Yep.
And it just makes sense. Another thing they announced the same day or the day after is, every Xbox One, is going to essentially be a dev kit. So not the way that 360 was where you get the XNA tools. They said that if they're going to have some kind of like program, they haven't gone into full detail, of course, because it's Microsoft. They won't do that right away, but every system will be open to people with whatever program this is. So they can take advantage of the cloud.
You have to get approval and they have to unlock it for you.
Oh, for sure.
Or something like that. But what worries me is that this is like, now that this information's out there, as soon as Xbox One hits the shelves, hackers are going to go to town and try and figure out how to unlock that potential and unlock that.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is that if you have to be online to do it, then
yeah, I think that'll be a restriction.
Yeah, that's going to be the downfall, but,
that's how it is now with the dev kits.
Yeah.
Like you have to be on a specific network and stuff, and it's got to be like whitelisted and shit like that. So
partner.
It's really no different than how it is now, to be honest. It's just a different firmware, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now it's everyone can have it. It's not just XNA tools. If you wanted to be like, hey, I'm sure you have to make a strong case. I'm sure that I can accept everybody. You'd be like, yeah, I'm sure you also
have to pay for some sort of dev kit as well, similar to XNA.
Well, program. They specifically said you're not going to, this is like the dev kit. Like from Microsoft, like Patrick Klepek interviewed Mark Whitten or Whitman from Microsoft.
Right.
He said it is technically, it's the same dev kit, it's the same basically the systems that people are using now, like the dev developers.
Right. I'm talking about software kits. You're going to need a software kit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure you're just going to open up the tools or whatever. But yeah. But that's kind of cool. That's like kind of the first time a console's ever really done that. Totally open it up. Well, I wouldn't say totally because I don't believe it's going to be totally open.
Well, especially not the first time a major console has done it.
Well, yes. Not like handhelds and stuff have done that before. And I guess the Ouya technically does that.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking, because the Ouya, basically, it is a dev kit.
Exactly. But we'll see what happens. And they also said that none of the stuff, or at least most of it, isn't going to be available at launch. They're probably going to go through some shit. But, I mean, I personally don't care for that stuff. Not the indie games themselves, but I mean, I'm not interested in the dev side of it. But I'm more happy that they lifted the publisher requirement for indies.
No doubt.
That made a lot of people on Twitter happy. Like indie people. But then some people are still pissed off. But then again, indie people stay pissed off at shit for stuff I don't understand.
Grudges will be held.
Yes, definitely. Speaking of grudges, Capcom. This isn't really a grudge, but I just wanted to make a shitty transition. They have officially said that a new Darkstalkers game is back on the back burner and put on ice and will not be coming back anytime soon. Because not enough people bought Darkstalkers Resurrection.
I bought the fucking game twice. What do you fucking want from me, Capcom? You're putting more time and fucking effort into JoJo's Bizarre fucking Adventure, which nobody fucking A, likes, B, plays.
I don't
plays,
see why they're doing that.
C, fucking cares about. And you have all this fucking interest for Darkstalker. God damn it.
Yep.
What the fuck?
And that's the thing. It's like, it's hard to... I think it's the wrong decision to judge whether or not a game would be popular based on a re-release of a game that a lot of people already have. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like I have Darkstalkers on PSP.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, I wasn't going to buy it again, so you know.
Whatever. I don't think that's the way they do things. I see the business end why they'd want to do that, but I don't think it really equates well for this, because
that's such a shitty measuring stick. That's just dumb. I agree.
Yeah, well, they can keep going with their JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, I guess.
Fuck that game.
I have a few before you go on.
Mm-hmm.
So here, just to continue the we listened to your feedback. They have EA has announced that they have changed the formula that they were going to implement for Sims 4, and it will now have a single player offline component because of how much hell that they got for SimCity. So that's pretty cool for people that are into the Sims. My wife is into it, so you know, we'll see if I end up getting a copy for her to play. But you know, that's pretty cool. I know that they got a lot of flack for being online only. There was also a report that Call of Duty Ghosts is apparently coming to Wii U, and Treyarch is porting it.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, for those of you that have Wii U and care about Call of Duty, which I think there's probably like 12, there you go.
You know what's not coming out for Wii U?
What's not coming out
for Wii U? Strider. It's coming out for like everything but the Wii U.
Yeah. Couple more. Speaking of EA, which I probably should have done this right after the other one. They lost an $11 million lawsuit.
I heard about that.
Yeah. Based on, the John Madden series. So apparently, this dude, where's his name? Robin Antonick. He was the one who, he was the designer of the original John Madden football. And, he basically got royalties for, basically the early 90s versions of EA, of Madden. From 90 to 96.
96, yeah.
Yeah. And now they're saying that that there's another suit for ones that were beyond the 16-bit games. So from 96 into the present, where he could end up getting more money if the jury that tries his case decides that way. So
pretty fucking crazy.
And
that's
they won.
Pretty nuts.
Or he won.
Yeah, he won $11 million in royalties. So that's a win.
I don't know if I agree with that, but...
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure of what depends on what his contract was,
like,
you know?
Yeah, that's
so
exactly.
they used
what was the deal breaker, probably.
Yeah. And, you know, if they basically used the same, you know, the same code, you know,
well,
throughout.
I mean, they didn't, based on what I've read, it wasn't based on if they used the same code. It was that the game was obviously in like a subsequent
yeah
it was obviously influenced
from it's plays were football, the same and things like that.
I don't know if I agree with it, because the coding thing makes sense, because if he developed the engine for it on the 16-bit systems on like PC, then it makes sense. But when they transitioned into like 3D stuff, I'm sure a lot of that was not used.
This went down to a jury, essentially, and the jury was like, oh, yeah, I mean, obviously, these games are very, very similar. They had to have based it off.
That's a lot
of
money.
They may not have used a fucking line of code of his, but...
He still would have got it.
Oh, jeez.
Just because of that jury. That's what I'm saying.
That's
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
It's a gray area. It's a gray area.
You got a big
area.
Fucking payday.
Yeah, but it really boils down to what was in his contract and, you know, how that was worded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you know, you can get away with that. And, you know, big corporations get away with it too. So
I'm not going to lie. If I had something like that in a contract, damn right, I'm going out. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. But, basically it says the jury found, that several of EA's games published between 90 and 96 were virtually identical to the original version of Madden NFL football, developed by Anthony.
Both had teams.
both had plays. Both had a ball that you threw or handed off. So yeah, it's a gray area, but, yeah, apparently this guy got $11 million for it. So.
Oh, good for him.
There you go. I'm sure that's good only a very small fraction of how much EA has made off of Madden.
Yes. Yes.
Probably the last thing I've got, and, this is another one of those gray areas, because it's exciting to hear the news, but it's like a little scared about what's happening. Stardock is planning to reboot Star Control, which is Stardock.
Who?
Yeah. Galactic Civilizations developer Stardock is set to take on Star Control.
I mean, I know Star Control. I don't know Stardock.
Yeah, I've never really heard of these guys, and I don't even know what Galactic Civilizations is, so I'm a little concerned about that.
Do Fallen Enchantress as well? Because I think the second one did well. I might be talking out of my ass, but
yeah, I don't even know. I'd have to look the company up. I haven't done that yet, but
Stardock.
They did say that they are that they'd like to base a lot of it on how Star Control 2 worked, which was, you know, by far the best in the series.
It's the only one I played.
Yeah, one was basically the ship combat, and that was it.
Yo, somebody type in stardock.com, because you know what, you're gonna see a whole bunch of fucking Windows apps. Yeah, Fallen Enchantress. Consumer software? Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
No.
Well, maybe they're just going to do like a HD type reboot, maybe, or I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens.
I love that they're taking the let's use the original games as inspiration approach. That's smart. That's brilliant.
Yeah, nobody's done that before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I'm so glad that they're doing something original.
I didn't get excited because couldn't see what they're going to do with it. Like, the reason I love the second one so much is because it's how much I played it on, like, PC or whatever, just, like, head-to-head in that style of game. I don't know if that style of game would work these days. Maybe it will. It's, like, maybe a dual-stick shooter, but I don't know.
I don't get this. Who had the... So, Atari had the rights to Star Control, but Toys for Bob has Skylanders money now, and they were, like, the original developers. They've been wanting to do a fucking sequel.
No. Wait. Didn't Toys for Bob only make the 3DO version? Didn't they just port the 3DO version?
I don't think so. I think it was a little bit more involved than that.
Really?
I'm not quite sure, but I know that they were seriously invested in it and very, very, very much wanted to do a sequel or remake of some sort. And they got Skylanders bucks now. Why couldn't they buy that shit? Damn it.
Oh, wait. Yeah, it looks like you're right. Developed by Toys for Bob and published by Accolade.
I mean, someone who makes an app for a business can definitely make a Star Control game, right?
Right, obviously. Oh, God. Ooh, Skin Studio 7.90 beta is available from Stardock. I don't know what that is. Oh, I can reskin my Windows. Thanks.
I just put it this way. I have a lot less faith in that than I do of the Strider.
Strider, yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things. You're holding out hope.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Who's been in the movies this year?
Have you guys seen
Pacific Rim yet? The movie's freaking awesome, by the
way.
I saw that.
It was good.
I heard
it's good as long as you don't expect a good plot and good acting.
That's not what I expected going in, and I got blown away by the shit I was expecting.
I think it was totally brilliant in the way that, like, I think he embraced the fact that he was writing a super shitty, cheesy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was intentional.
Yeah. It was.
Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, visual masterpiece, fucking awesome. I want to go see it again. Well, there's another movie that's, but now it's in the works right now. It is based on a famous PlayStation 3 game. So it's actually the best-selling Sony franchise, I believe.
Wow.
Since the first game came out. Okay. So it's exciting. I mean,
so best-selling Sony franchise.
Yeah, I've already seen Uncharted. Wait a second.
that's not the best-selling Sony franchise. Okay. Come on now.
No.
Could have fooled me.
When you think of movies, what do you think of?
God of War. I think that's the first one that comes to mind.
No, movies. Like, you think, like,
oh,
big action, movie stars.
Uncharted.
Good plot. Uncharted. Well, no. Polyphony and Sony and stuff, they come out and they got the two guys who are doing the Shades of, 50 Shades of Grey movie. They're gonna work on Gran Turismo movie.
Dude, I'm seeing Days of Thunder. I am seeing that inspiration. Is Tom Cruise in it?
Fast and the Furious.
That's a good one. Fast and the Furious will work too. Oh, they could do so much with that.
I'm all wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. Oh my God, this is going to be great.
I can see it coming down, like, you know, you see all the cars driving around and
boom, like,
Gran Turismo, colon. And then,
dude,
you know,
they could make that stuff look super realistic now.
Yeah, they could. And then the subtitle comes down. Everyone at the theater goes,
Who gives a shit?
I thought, like, the last 8 of our stories were who gives a shit stories. I was super confused. I didn't know where to start.
Yeah, that one. Gran Turismo movie? I mean, what? It's a car sim.
It's gonna, like, end up being like, it's just gonna be like,
do you think they'll do like a super extended, like, trailer version?
They'll do one of the endurance races.
No, it's gonna come out in 2017. But then it's not going to be finished, so then they keep adding to it, and they have to keep watching the movie every couple months until you get the finished version.
Well, yeah, it'll come out in 2017, but it'll still have visual effects from this year.
Ooh. Exactly. Like, Need for Speed makes sense. Like, Need for Speed has a plot. Those racing games have a plot. Something like Gran Turismo, Forza, do not have a plot. There's no point to it at all. None. Stupid.
You have to believe. No,
oh, and David Hayter has work now too. Another who gives a shit. He's gonna play the lead in Dennis Dyack's new game, Shadow of the Eternals. Which is
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's back on Kickstarter with a smaller budget, and they redid their pitch and everything. So went to Kickstarter, got removed. They thought they had a publisher. I guess that didn't happen. They're back on Kickstarter to do this, but now they have David Hayter. And, like, somebody put this on Twitter. Actually, it was Michael Futter, actually. It was a guy who works with Jason. He said that David Hayter he's just fell into the worst rebound relationship after breaking up with his girlfriend.
Yeah. No kidding.
I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, that's all the news. Strider, right, cool. Motherfuckers. Strider. Yeah. I think this is the only year, I think I predicted every single year a Strider remake or a game would be announced, and this is the only time I didn't predict that.
Well, we wouldn't have given you a point anyway.
Well, I know. Of course not, because if I say it every year, it doesn't count. But still,
that's right. That's right. All right, cool. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Evo and possibly other pro gaming tournaments, and then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week, which I do have an idea for, and I will let you guys know that on the break. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. It's time to
wake up. They don't do shit. They make stupid fucking Windows apps.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thanks. You welcome back. And you welcome back.
You guys welcome
and
back.
And you. Everybody welcome, welcome back. Back.
Everybody welcome back. All right. So today we are going to talk about Evo a little bit. So we got a couple voicemails and email on the subject. So I'm going to pass it over to Jason and let him do his thing.
Yo, it is my show. And this is an email from Bender. He says, hey, hey, and his crew.
Hey, hey.
Evo was hype. Ultra Street Fighter 4, fool. I hope they port it to the Vita. Wow, this is just like a stream of consciousness with a fuckload of exclamation points. Justin Wong! Too bad he didn't win Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but Flocker is just as good, and he earned it. So glad Sheehan won. Did you manage to see the match between Infiltration and Laugh? Should we be answering these? I think we should.
Sure.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Because, this actually hits a lot of points that I wanted to make. So,
pretty much.
Ultra Street Fighter 4 announced. Yes. This was going to be like the big balance update, but it kind of went past schedule. So now they're like copying and pasting, characters from Cross Tekken and putting them into, Street Fighter 4, which I'm super excited about. And, when I read this headline, I fucking cheered inside of my sweltering fucking, sweat box.
Apartment.
Rolento, Elena, Poison, Hugo,
and a character yet to be named.
Yes, somebody that supposedly has not been in the Street Fighter universe, which could mean fucking anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or it hasn't been in a Street Fighter title. So,
yeah, so
I
it
mean,
could
that,
be Hagar. That's what I was thinking it might be.
Totally could be. But, all four of those are fan favorites, with the exception of Hugo, I think. But, cause he's dumb. He's really dumb. Anyway, I'm super excited for that. And granted it, they're kind of copy paste characters from Cross Tekken. But
you still got to change the way they play for Street Fighter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I'm absolutely excited for.
And it's $15 if you already have AE and $40 if you don't. And if you get the disc version or digital version, you get all the downloadable costumes and stuff, which there was some bitching that we always see with like, oh, look at that. They're reiterating Street Fighter again. But this is what I gotta say. It's $15 for five characters, five stages that, yes, will be from another game at some point. But there's not that many games that have a lifespan that Street Fighter does, especially with like us and a lot of people. I mean, Evo's proof that Street Fighter was still like the main event at Evo. And they keep that thing running for a reason and people want to keep playing it. And compared to other fighting games out there, $15 for five characters is pretty damn good.
That's like, really fair good. Price DLC. I don't think this is going to do a major like turnaround for people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to be like suddenly drawn to the game. But
no, God,
man, for all of us who are still fucking playing this game, you know, near 5 years fucking later, not just the characters, but they're making some like serious fucking tweaks. You know, where they're really involving the community as far as rebalancing and shit is concerned. So in and of itself breathes new life into the game. It keeps us coming back, you know, obviously for years now. So, I'm all kinds of ultra excited. Do you think maybe?
Nah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Do you think with it being called ultra? Oh, yeah, that was intentional. with it being called ultra, do you think maybe they'll change it up to where you could use both of your ultras?
Ooh. That would be interesting.
That would be kind of cool. Add a new element to the game.
That would totally. You'd have to constantly be thinking about ultras.
Mm-hmm.
Or so.
That could be cool. I don't think it would break too much. But fuck it. Let's just break it. Who cares?
Let's just break it anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Break it so people want five even more. How about they do
that? Second point. Justin Wong.
Justin Wong. That
wow. Okay.
The villain character from years ago is now the hero.
Yeah, Justin has, you know, traditionally been like one of the strongest, you know, like Capcom fighters, for years and years and years and years. And, you know what? We fucking hated him for a while because he was so good and he was winning everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't been lately. Yeah. He's been spreading himself a little thin.
I haven't seen him win an Evo or a Street Fighter tournament since I've really been following this whole thing.
There's a lot of times where he doesn't even take top 8, top 16. Like, he'll get knocked out early. Like, he's been super inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Not knocking him as a
no,
player.
It's awesome.
Just
yeah.
Whatever. You know, there's new up and comers and they're all great. So Justin Wong.
Should
was fighting Chris G.
Thing?
Yeah. I think.
Chris G is the new villain.
Yeah. Chris G is definitely the new villain. Like he's been pretty much untouchable in Marvel. And several other games as of late.
And like, he's a giant dick.
Yeah. He seems like a giant douche. It was weird seeing, you know, this old school player, Justin Wong, that we had hated all of a sudden become like the underdog, you know, mm-hmm. and we're all like cheering him on. You know, and accentuating that was that Chris G is like so untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, long story short, Justin fucking took it to Chris G in like some super fucking exciting matches.
It was the comebacks. Like he was down to nothing in almost
where,
every
like even
set.
The commentators were like, it's over. Like they were writing it off and then Justin would pull something out and, yep. and take the match. Like, wow. It just.
Yeah. It was
that's
awesome.
Super articulate, right? Cause that's how I felt.
That's the way it was, dude. Like, I've never really cheered Justin Wong, like, at least in the last few years. And I was, mm-hmm. and I usually don't even watch Marvel vs. Capcom, to be honest, at Evo. So usually, like, it's always the same characters, and I find it hard to follow sometimes all the crap happening. But I just loved it. The first set when he reset it in Losers Finals, like, when he was down 2-0, and then came back and reset it. And then the next match, I think he went down again 2-0. And then won and beat him to the finals. I was like, holy shit. And the place just exploded.
There were some miracles. And I love the commentary from Yipes. Cause you know, he's really close to Justin, you know, he's secretly cheering him on, but he secretly knows that he probably doesn't stand a chance against Chris G. And then Justin just pulls off these amazing come from behind victories and he, like, Yipes was speechless, you know, and you could just feel the emotion. He was just flabbergasted. So that was all of the Justin Wong, like, comeback, you know, victories. Those were my big hype Evo moments.
And he almost took it against Flocker.
Yeah.
Flocker
grand finals.
Won, but it was close.
Yep. And I think Flocker was, second place last year as well. Lost it to Champ.
To Filipino Champ.
Oh man, yeah, some of those matches too, like, some of the, yeah, I mean, Chris G losing obviously, and then, you know, Filipino Champ losing as well. Those
he
were
lost
big.
To that, what's his name?
The online
name.
Dude. Cloud 7 or something like that?
Yeah, Cloud, something like that. Yeah, the guy who plays mainly online.
And on a fucking pad.
Yeah.
I don't know how you play Marvel on a fucking pad, but this kid did it, yeah. I love those, like, breakout stories. You know, the dude's an online warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out of nowhere and just starts, you know, wrecking fools.
And beats the champion of last year.
Yep.
Ugh.
That was good shit. The next point was, Justin Wong versus, Flocker. But yeah, Flocker took it. Oh, so glad Sheehan won. Played, he's a Gen player, actually.
Yeah. And he's been winning almost all the majors this year, too.
Yeah, so he's been, like, secretly, like, a force to be reckoned with, I think. Mm-hmm. Where's he from?
He's
Shanghai?
No Captain Harlock, but he's up there in his Gen play. For
Shanghai?
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy that he plays Gen and fucking won Evo this year. What else we got? Did you manage to see the match between Infiltration and Laugh? They looked mad. Are they no longer speaking or working together?
I didn't see that actually, so I missed that.
I mean, yeah, it was,
Was that the Akuma Akuma?
Laugh is a Ryu player, actually.
Is he a Ryu player? Okay.
I don't know if he was still using Ryu. I just remember that one final moment when Laugh beat Infiltration and, you know, Laugh just like stood up, looked away, and walked away. They're roommates. They're like close friends and training partners and shit like that. And there was no emotion from either of them. It was like a business transaction.
Hmm.
And I'm sure that they were like seething. You know, under the skin, just.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, then again, some of my best friends, like, I have the really fierce competitiveness with, like, when we do certain shit. So mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, you'll be pissed at each other for, like, 15 minutes, and then I'll be like, all right, dude, let's grab mm-hmm. a beer. You whoop my ass. You earned it.
Infiltration didn't get knocked out by Laugh, but,
No.
But yeah, Infiltration has been, you know, winning a ton of shit as of late as well. So Laugh was, like, an underdog. So that was cool to see.
Or talking, and I know he doesn't mention this in his email, but might as well keep it on topic. The Infiltration match against PR Balrog was pretty awesome.
That was huge.
Because Balrog, PR Balrog, for those listening, he uses Balrog. Mm-hmm. And Infiltration's an Akuma player, and Balrog went up, I think, again, it was 2-0. And then Infiltration switched to Hakan, and Hakan's a character you rarely ever see. And he came back and beat PR Balrog with Hakan, and that was another moment where everyone just fucking erupted and just went nuts.
Just to see Hakan out there.
Yeah.
Like, PR Balrog was definitely the underdog, you know, and God, he was on the verge of fucking winning, and it looked like he was going to take it, and then all of a sudden this counter pick from Infiltration. And, you know, with this, like, underutilized character, and he came back and won. That was fucking crazy. What else we got? Jason, Jeff, Chris, when Ultra Street Fighter 4 comes out, are you going to consider Scrub Sports?
I always consider it, but I doubt it's going to happen.
I want to do Scrub Sport all the times, and I don't have the times.
Hey,
anymore.
Someone comes out to, like, run the actual, and the thing is, honestly, I love doing everything of Scrub Sport, but it really does, the same thing happens every single time, especially the way we're doing it, where the people that are really into the games will keep playing, and the people that happen to lose a bit, they kind of give up, and they just don't show up for their fights, and that becomes a huge, huge issue.
Yeah, that's where it becomes a hassle.
Yeah, and then it's a pain.
I think it served its purpose in a lot of ways, you know, it was meant to bring, you know, people together that weren't like super hardcore into it. And I think, in that respect, it was great, but, it definitely weeded out, some of the more casual players. Mm-hmm.
For sure. I wouldn't mind doing maybe every once in a while doing like a tournament on like a day or something like that. That'd be really cool. Cause we've done a couple of those every here and there, and I wouldn't mind doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
But Bender, dude, if you're playing Street Fighters, like, let us know. We play pretty much fighting games every Thursday night after we record.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can always hop on there for your fix.
I'm, of course, not in that, so.
No.
No.
Yeah, I've pretty much given up on fighting games only because I don't have the time to put into them to be good enough to compete.
Yes.
With anyone.
It's still tough, man.
It's like, time consuming. It is. It's very time consuming. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not because I don't want to, because I really enjoyed playing Street Fighter 4 with these guys. It's just that, you know, now that I have two kids, it's just really hard to dedicate that time. I would have to use pretty much all my gaming time to keep up. And that's
what I end up doing.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I can't do it. So.
I mean, most fighting games now, there's still that huge gap in between, you know, the people that are playing it religiously and, you know, the people just do it casually, you know, and it's so tough to just pick up a game and be competitive and have fun. You know, with people that have been playing it for a long time. So someday they'll work something out, but as of right now, nothing. Anyway,
it's called Dive Kick.
Yeah, that could be it. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I have high hopes.
August 20th,
secretly.
Is it?
8th, actually. I think it's sooner than later, but.
Oh, well.
Yeah, regardless, that's coming out pretty quick. That might be fun for a while. We shall mm-hmm. see. Bender's last statement, FGC, Fighting Game Community, is good.
Yep, it is. It gets a bad rap because everyone jumps on the negative shit, but...
Yeah, I mean, and I think with any community, I mean, more recently, the fighting game community is like a come under fire from like Kotaku for like sexism and stuff. You know what? Have you ever been on fucking just Xbox Live, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
played Call of Duty?
Yeah, those bastards are in every fucking aspect of gaming, not just fighting games, you know? So yeah, nothing new there. But the community in general, you know, we should probably state that, you know, Smash Brothers was a huge, win for the community, I think, because, of the charity, that they donated to. Yeah, people donated money in order to get like their choice game in, and a lot of people donated for Smash for breast cancer research, and you know, that's a big community win. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like bringing people together, and because of that, I think Smash was kind of welcomed.
It really was. Like, I was really surprised to tune in on Sunday to see how many people. Because it was on the main stage, of course, like everything is on Sunday. And there was a ton, like the place was still packed and cheering on people, like cheering off what's his wobbly, I can't remember his name.
Mango like, or some shit.
There was the mango guy, then there was the wobbly dude, and they were like going back and forth. And like I will admit, like I I watched a few of the matches here and there before the finals, and I was like, I honestly don't like watching this game. I can see I'm not taking anything away from the players. Yeah. I'm sure what they're doing is crazy hard to do, and there's a lot of like strategy behind it. But as a game to watch, it just wasn't that fun. But I did like the finals because of how much the hype the crowd was kind of getting and kind of back and forth that was going on between those two players was kind of entertaining. Even though I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, same here. I can't say that I like watching it too much, but I can't deny it when people get like that excited over a game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was, I think Smash will be back next year. You know, it's really, really cool.
Oh, for sure. It was the biggest stream when that was on. They had the most people on the stream at one time.
Well, I think they broke it later on, actually.
Did they?
But yeah, that was the big moment. It was like 150,000 people. It's like, holy shit, for Smash?
Yeah.
This is a huge stream all of a sudden. And yeah, that was big news for a while. So it's good to see because these communities were very far apart from one another for such a long time, you know? Not a lot of respect, I think, on either sides. But all of a sudden, Smash that Evo, and it was accepted. And everybody's hugging and kissing and getting hype. That's good to see.
Speaking of guys that kind of haven't won stuff in a while, Daigo, he didn't he had an okay, he made top 8, but...
Which is good.
Yeah, but he is, again, he's like Justin Wong and Daigo, that whole rivalry's kind of gone right out the window. And because Daigo hasn't really won much in a while that I can think of. Definitely not in Evo.
Another big match was Daigo versus Tokido. Tokido is another Japanese player and always has problems fighting Daigo. Has not beat him in a tournament scene. But this is the first time that Tokido has beaten Daigo in a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Is this past Evo, so that was big. So Daigo's still definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, for sure.
We just haven't seen him winning over here.
Exactly. I'm sure he wins a shitload of crap in Japan. But I will say, I was watching his matches, and I haven't seen so many whiffed Shoryukens in my life in an Evo tournament. He whiffed a lot against Tokido. And I was like, wow, that's like wake up Shoryukens. Like, I was like, this is... What's wrong? Is he okay? Is he hungry? He wants to go for lunch or something? Like, I don't see what's going on.
Well, normally, I mean, he nails those. That's the thing is he's just kind of throwing it out there. You know, it's, I don't know if just Tokido was just like in his head or was playing way more defensively or something, but sometimes Daigo just throws shit out there and a lot of times it works, but not that day. Anywho, that's the main Evo stuff of this this email. There's a second part, but it's more general questions, so we're gonna save that for.
We'll do that for emails.
Yeah, a little bit later on. But that's all we have for emails. Chris, you have anything as far as voicemails?
I do. Let's do that. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna pull it up on my phone.
I understand you were napping.
Get my monitor? No, I wasn't napping. I was paying attention. I did have to go over and check my son's baby monitor for a second though. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Andis, what's up? Yo, what's up?
Yo.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
Evo.
Evolution
2013.
That is what it is.
We didn't put this on. I know this is probably nearly literally the greatest question of the week ever for me. I am fairly happy, and this is a moment for me. I mean, seriously, I've been a long time listener, and hey, I must say, great, great question. I'm actually smiling if you were to look. Anyways, moments. I'm just gonna like say my moments, whatever. Like my most hype moments. I don't really know what to say. We all know what Evo is. It's the World Cup of Fighting Games, and it's growing every year. But hey, shout out to Evo. Moving on. King of Fighters 13. It is very, very getting a lot of attention from the fighting game community, and the grand finals, or the top 8, did not disappoint. I mean, I look forward to it, and, you know, my favorite character of the game, Teo Kusanagi, hint, was part of the team that actually won the tournament, so I was very happy with that. It is a very, I'm really happy to see it shining a little bit. It'll probably go nowhere near a Capcom game, but it is definitely not a game that is not looked at. Moving on, Marvel's Capcom 3, I loved it. You know, I love Justin Wong's performance, you know, his comebacks against Chris G and so on. I'm very happy that that Guinea cocksucker, Filipino champ, he didn't win. I don't like him.
Sunglasses and shit while he playing. That's how you really feel,
eh? Trash people, you know what I'm saying? That ain't, I don't see sportsmanship with that guy. He's not worthy. Moving on, Street Fighter 4, you know, definitely the, a lot of moments. I was literally heartbroken when, you know, Daigo lost because he hasn't been, he didn't show up in any of the tournaments this year on Road to Evil, like, I think SoCal Regional, CEO, Ultimate Fighting Game Tournament. There's more than that, but I mean, he didn't show up final round. He wasn't there, and he shows up at Evo, and he lost to Infiltration again. He wasn't as bad as last time, but he still lost, so I was a little heartbroken by that. I really wanted him to win, cause he's so calm, he's cool. But most hype moment, of course, was when, you know, PR log beating, you know, Infiltration was cool, but then Infiltration went to Hakan, and he beat him. That was awesome. I saw some new tricks with Hakan, like punching that turnaround punch with the Ultra. We're getting really technical here, but that was awesome. But yeah, that was cool. And, you know, again, winning the tournament and all, you know, what can you say? Much respect. You can't really, much respect to that player. I mean, that was cool. I think time is almost up. Metal Gear Solid 5, yeah, you guys are awesome. Love you guys, and until next time, be well.
Thanks, Eddie.
Later, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie.
Metal Gear Solid 5 to you as well, sir.
Do you guys want to comment on that now, or the next one is him, too.
I did want to mention some of the King of Fighters at Grand Finals. I can't remember I can't remember if Romance was in it, because Romance is a guy, he's the only guy I remember who constantly is in all the King of Fighters tournaments. But I just remember that Grand Finals was insane. It was another game of guy resetting the bracket and then coming back and winning the entire thing. It was pretty awesome. And that game, I wish I was like 10 years younger or like something like that, because that game is just so execution heavy. It looks so good. And it is fun. Now I want to play King of Fighters. That's what I do every time I watch a tournament. Be like, oh, this doesn't look too bad. I'll go and try to play it, and I'll be like, oh my god.
If only that online was better, man.
Yeah, that too.
But I'm too old for that fucking game, seriously. I don't have the execution.
So much to remember.
Cool. All right, you guys want to do the next one?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, Vendis?
Hey, it's Eddie.
Was the next day, by the way.
I am here, and I believe I forgot something in my previous voicemail about, I want to give a brief mention, a very brief, I know I'm a Tekken fanboy and all that, but I mean, if you watch Evo thoroughly, and, you know, if you compare Tekken to how it is today, and how it was back in 2006 and 2007, it was literally probably the first or the second game that people would be looking most, be looking forward to the most. First or second. That's how big Tekken was. And now, it's a piece of shit game. Like, there are so many games over it, and it kind of saddens me, honestly. I'm not being a fanboy. Just want to throw that thing out there. You know, your thoughts, Jason, Jeff, you guys are fighting fanboys. You know, just say something. If you saw Evo thoroughly, if you're on the forums, you would know what I'm talking about, because let me say this. They even banned DualShock 3 controllers. And Tekken, all Tekken players, not all of them, 70% of Tekken players play on DualShock controllers, on the regular Sony DualShock controllers.
Why would they do that?
And wireless
they banned those
stuff.
At Evo, which caused a huge amount of people not going to the tournament. Because if you use a converter, it will cause lag, and they don't want to use a joystick all over again. All that movement and all that, you know, advanced shit you see on Tekken, it's easier on the DualShock, you know, and that's, you know, that's why a lot of people are just pad players on all games. I'm going to throw that out there. I did not mean to, like, waste time or whatever I'm just saying. I am Buzz. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just wanted to share my thoughts, and I don't think I mentioned Tekken at all, and I believe it deserves a mention because it's so... I was really brokenhearted because the game, the grand final was on the first day on Friday. And what does that tell you?
Yeah,
they
that's
wrapped
pretty
up
great.
That
game
so
not
quick.
Many people signed up.
I mean, come on, it is depressing. All right, man. Peace. I love you guys.
Thanks, Eddie.
All right.
I watch Tekken. I actually like watching Tekken Tag.
Oh, really?
I don't mind watching that at all. You don't like it? No, I'd rather watch that than like Mortal Kombat or Smash Brothers, that's for sure. Like Mortal Kombat, I find very boring to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, Injustice, we'll stick to Tekken for now, but that blew my mind. I did not know they banned DualShocks. Why would they do that but not ban it for like PS3 or Street Fighter or like Injustice?
I think it still was. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, I think it's a wireless issue. You know, once you have, you know, even if you bring a cord and you sync it up, you're still synced
still runs
to
wireless.
That. Yeah. And, you know, they've had issues, you know, where people are, you know, hitting like the guide button and like pausing games and stuff like that, you know, intentionally and unintentionally. So it's just
but
like
that cloud dude you said used a pad.
Right. And it was a wired 360 pad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it had like a converter on it, so it could be used on PlayStation or whatever. So I don't think it was like a political thing. I don't think it's like, oh, Tekken fucking sucks. We're not going to let these people use their controllers. You know, just, I don't know, just covering their own butts.
That's so sad because Tekken was like, I know it was definitely huge like years and years and years ago.
But I mean, if we'd look back at like, all of the other games at that time, there really wasn't that much. Do you know what I mean?
No. And, hey, Virtua Fighter wasn't there. I don't think Soul Calibur was there, was it?
No. I don't think so.
So I think it was like the only 3D game there.
Yeah.
So that's still saying something. It's got some people there.
Yep.
Some interest.
But yeah, the fact
was Dead or Alive there?
No.
No. Oh, God, no.
Okay.
But yeah, the fact that, I mean, everything was wrapped up that first day just goes to show that there weren't that many entrants.
No.
So they were able to knock it out.
Yeah, I was surprised when someone said, like, oh, there's the finals right now. I'm like, what, the finals?
Yeah.
Like, the finals? I'm surprised.
It was a lot bigger last year, too. And I don't know. I'm not a big Tekken guy, but I thought Tekken Tag was better than the last iteration, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. I don't really pay attention to Tekken all that much, so I'm sorry.
I watched Injustice up until the final eight, and
yeah,
then I was like,
because
well,
it's like, why?
A bunch of Supermans. And,
exactly.
Oh, what?
But yeah, the semifinals was pretty exciting. Lots of new stuff. I love that Raven player, too. He was Reckons and Fools, and definitely an underdog. I love seeing that, and I love seeing underutilized characters as well. So.
Oh, for sure. I was hoping a Harley was going to get in there, but
yeah, it was close. One of the commentators is a big Harley fan. I expected him to do a lot better. He's from Chicago, from Galloping Ghost Arcade, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he's. I'm pretty sure he's been at like MGC shit like that.
Huh. Very cool. Very cool. But yeah, when Superman came out, it was like Superman and a Green Lantern in the finals.
Yeah.
And Superman.
I fully expected a Supes versus Supes.
Yeah, I would have expected that too, because he is so freaking ridiculously good right now.
Yeah.
But hey.
Too good.
I'd rather watch Injustice and Mortal Kombat, put it that way. They made NetherRealm made a game I actually have fun watching people play. And I was surprised that that game, people were very open to picking different stages. Like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, when you watch MVC. Ultimate MVC, Street Fighter, they always pick training stage. I thought Injustice was going to be like all of them going to Aquaman stage or whatever.
No.
And ones with very limited destructibility. But no, they were going all over the place. I guess they just accepted, hey, it's part of the game. We're going to play it like it's supposed to be played and did it that way. Even Smash Brothers, the Smash Brothers tournament, they went to like no, items, stuff like that, like very basic levels. And that was kind of cool.
Well, with Injustice, I mean, there's definitely a strategic, like advantage, I guess, you know, like, cause power characters, you know, definitely have advantages on certain stages and vice versa. And, I think it was Chris G that would pick, certain stages that he would have the advantage after like a stage transition.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, he would, cause, it's not, uncommon for him to be able to knock someone through a stage due to his corner combos and shit like that. And, like the second version of that stage, like he would have the advantage if he knocked someone through. So he would purposely pick specific stages.
Well, that's cool.
So yeah, it's this interesting little element there, I guess, but anyway, that's all I got on Injustice. It was fun to watch. I love seeing the underutilized stuff, but, yeah, that Game needs some rebalancing. For sure.
Yep. Dive Kick. I watched some Dive Kick. Even though it wasn't like an official tournament, it was still kind of fun to watch. I still won't call that game a real fighting game. It's a...
If you ask one of the creators, he'll tell you...
They'll tell you it's a real fighting game, but it's... I mean, let's be realistic. It's like, it's not... It's got mind games for sure, and it's...
Well,
it's
just to be a devil's advocate, I mean, that's what it all boils down to,
yeah.
Right?
True, but execution is kind of... I don't know. I'm going to have fun with it. I'm going to buy
execution
it day one.
Execution is only for those, you know, people that sit in training room for
you
know, 18 hours a day.
That's what I mean. It's something anyone could, like, pick
I
up.
I want to fight with my mind. Mind fighting.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But it was cool to watch that stuff. I didn't watch any of the Skullgirls.
Yeah, there were a shit ton of side tournaments going on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was streamed, too. It was, this is
three channels
the biggest, I mean, Evo ever, I think.
I think they had something over 1 million viewers, I guess different viewers. So not at one time, obviously, that'd be insane.
Yeah, not at one time, but yeah, huge numbers and, yeah. I think it was the most exciting Evo for me to watch.
Me too. The last couple of years, I was kind of bored. Like, I was just like, all right, here we go.
We got to get a move on though. We've gone like a half hour.
Yeah.
On Evo.
Evo was fun. It was awesome.
It was awesome. Love the fighting game community. Love watching streams and shit.
Yep.
So outside of something like StarCraft, do you think there's another game that could potentially get to this point in the tournament?
Well, there's other games that are, like, I mean,
well, other tournaments, other types of tournaments, not necessarily fighting.
MLG is a lot bigger than Evo in terms of people and...
Yeah, but I never hear about that stuff being streamed and watched frequently and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, I mean, you would think you would, like, when it comes to something that involves gamers, you know, gamers are all connected, you would expect to, you know, I would expect that kind of stuff to be streamed. And it's just, I've never heard of much of that stuff being streamed. I mean, I could just be completely out of the loop.
They definitely stream MLG stuff, or at least they used to.
Yeah.
And
I know that StarCraft is huge. In the competitive scene, but,
yeah.
Dude, you know. Fucking, what's it called? It's humongous. League of Legends.
League of Legends is really big. Yeah.
But I mean, I find fun in watching Evo just cause it's more of a, like, it seems like a group
it's,
of people.
It's,
that,
it's more action for sure than,
yeah,
than
they,
something like StarCraft.
They
or
seem
like that.
They legitimately love it. Like, they eat, like, you know, eat, sleep, and breathe this kind of environment. And as much as we say, like, Chris G might be an asshole and Eddie's like, Filipino champ's probably a big dick. But when you see that many people having that much fun, like, how many people just go there just to watch and just to be part of it? That to me is something, like, I think is amazing. And it's on that type of scale. It's not super huge. It's not small by any means. And it's growing and growing and growing every year. It's just something that I don't know. Even Tanya, a couple of years ago, she would like watch Evo with me and stuff like that and would kind of get into it. Not so much now, but I don't know. I could never imagine myself watching a Halo tournament or a StarCraft tournament or something like that just cause, and it could be cause, yeah, like I'm a fighting game fan. Maybe that's why, but I mean, I like Halo too. Like not as much as fighting games, but I like Halo and I know what's going on in a match, but I find watching that kind of stuff just boring. And I don't see the people when I've watched MLG matches, it just doesn't seem the same. The camaraderie between teams and the audience watching, it just doesn't seem as hype as cliche saying hype is. It just doesn't seem as hype. And
They're two totally different audiences and crowds and players.
Yeah.
I mean, in that respect. So
true.
Like even, you know, just not just MLG, but just like, I don't know, the whole esports thing. This seems so kind of stuffy and commercial. And,
that's true too. Yeah.
You know, fighting games, you know, it's been an underground, passionate, you know, thing that's the grassroots, you
and
know.
It's been there
like
forever, you know.
All of these tournaments are run by super passionate people and not by corporations, you know. There's no big sponsors, you know. And the sponsors that are there are already, like, established members of, you know, the community, like
Mad Cats. Yeah, it's like Mad Cats and stuff like that. People that they sell and produce products that
you're probably not going to see Doritos, you know, sponsoring Evo anytime soon. So.
they're too busy sponsoring Halo tournaments.
Oh yeah,
see, yeah, exactly.
There you go. But yeah, it's
completely different. I'm sure the players wouldn't mind getting that fucking kind of purse, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing is, you know, I mean, they want to be able to do this full time. They want to be sponsored and shit like that. But at the same time, they don't want to lose.
It's a sacrifice.
You know, yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm sure Filipino champ. I mean, did you see his shirt? There were like 18 different logos on that fucking shirt.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you serious? That's horrible.
Yeah, he had a bunch of shit all over.
He looked like a shitty little
race car driver. That's funny.
And, well, they tried to get fighting games. Didn't MLG try to do it? Didn't they get like King of Fighters and something else? And they dropped it after 6 months.
Yeah, part of the holdup was Capcom not wanted to work with MLG or something like that. There's some drama behind the scenes there.
Well, it's probably the, you know, commercializing of it, you know, and that's probably something that they want to try and avoid. Yeah, you know, especially when you have a scene like Evo, which gets so much attention and isn't commercialized in that way, you know, it's hard to say, though.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Capcom is still just like the king of like the fighting game scene, you know?
Yeah, wherever they go, that's where.
And without them, I mean, anything you're going to try and start up is not going to work out very well, I think.
Right, right.
But
nope.
Cool.
Anyway,
Matt Holmes.
Let's move on.
All right. Should we do some new releases?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a few things. Not a lot. I promise it's not a lot. Next week, PlayStation is getting Call of Duty DLC, Vengeance. I know, right? PS3, 360, and Wii U are all getting Cloudberry Kingdom as a DLC, as a downloadable title. I don't know much about that, but it sounds like it's a platformer. 3DS is getting Family Kart 3D. I don't even want to know. And, this has a date. I didn't know this is coming out, but it does have an actual date. It's set for Tuesday. Vita's getting Pixel Junk Monsters Ultimate HD. So, if you are into Pixel
Junk. Ultimate HD, so this is Pixel Junk Monster just on Vita?
Yeah, yes, pretty much. I think it's Pixel Junk Monsters plus the expansions, probably.
Okay.
And then, you know, I don't know why they're calling it HD when you're actually reducing the resolution to stick it on the Vita screen, but, you know, whatever. But that's it for new releases. So,
okay.
Pick of the week. Yeah, I don't have anything for you this week. So.
Oh, fuck.
I'm not getting anything.
Here's my pick of the week.
I might pick up that game you were talking about earlier today.
Which one's
Mercenary
that?
Mercenary
Kings. Mercenary Kings? It's not bad. Here's my pick of the week. You can actually go pre-order DuckTales for $12 on PSN right now. Go do it.
Ooh. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
If you have Plus. Like if you bucks. Have, yeah, if you have Plus. So, alright, let's do, you want to do Indus questions first, and then we'll do our email and voicemail?
Sure, sounds good. We just got a couple here this week. We got one coming in from Zeke.
What's up, Zeke?
He is Zeke-in on the Twitters. He says, are you guys going to do a Mass Effect 3 spoiler show?
I think we did already.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. It's out there. You weren't there. It was, let's see, it was me and...
No, I think I was there for that.
It was me, Glenn, Nate,
maybe not.
Travis. I think that's it. I think that's it. But yeah, it's out there. Just go out on the site and search for,
that's right. I didn't do it. It took me like a fucking year to beat that game.
Well, and also it was, yeah, that's true. And it was also because, you would have been the only one on Skype. And I know that, you know, you're not.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's never a good situation.
But yeah, if you search for it on the site, it's out there.
Alrighty. There you go. Captain Harlock, Billy Harris says, and keep it kind of on topic. He says, if Killer Instinct is free, but you can only use Jago if you don't buy it, won't that make a lot of online matches versus Jago?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Especially at the beginning, I'd say a lot. They're
probably no different than, you know, when you first start playing Street Fighter and all you fight is Ken. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Especially if it is a launch title, everyone's going to be downloading it because it is free. So I could see a lot of Jagos on there.
People that are just dipping their toes, though, are not going to be... just sticking with one character. You know, they're not going to be sticking with Jago. They're going to branch out a little bit and they're going to find somebody else that they like.
And I have a feeling that they're going to have some pretty good matchmaking, that if someone drops in with Jago for the first time and they're going out there, you're not going to end up getting matched up against them if you're using someone
else. Hopefully.
Can we stop this Jago business? I think it's Jago.
Whatever. I don't know what he is. I don't pronounce it.
Anyway. But yeah, people that are dipping the toes don't hop online an awful lot either. So... I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Jago, Jago, Kano, Kano. Who knows?
But yeah, I don't know. I got other reservations actually for Killer Instinct right now. After I think that game might be, unless they decide to port that to at least PC, they kind of might be setting it out there to die. Kinda.
Just because they're Xbox exclusive, or
just because it's an Xbone exclusive, and
yeah.
And I don't think like even no matter how well Xbone does at launch, the percentage of those people that are fighting game fans, like. I can't. I know a lot of the fighting game community is excited for it, but I can't see them. Well, I guess I can see some of them maybe forking out $500 for one game, essentially, that they play right away. But I don't know. I'm still gonna enjoy the fuck out of it. I hope it catches on. I hope a lot of people buy it. But I don't know. And I will. I'm gonna predict that it will come to PC. I don't think it'll come to 360, but I think it'll get a PC port after launch. I think they should. They'd be smart too. If they really want it to like a tournament game, they need to get as many people playing that as they possibly can.
Yeah, I agree.
And keeping it on just Xbone.
Yeah, because if they do leave it on Xbone, yeah, it's probably going to be sent to die, and they'll never end up getting.
It'll be at the
out
first. The first year it'll be at all the tournaments, and then
next year it won't.
Exactly. Then the next year it won't be. But yeah,
cool.
Fuck Jago.
Any others? Or is that it
that's
for that?
That's it for the
email. All right, Jason, you want to do that email? We got a couple, right?
Yeah. I'm going to wrap up with Benders here. He said, Andy, anyways, I got a question for you. How do you guys feel about, playing games on easy to get the story? And he gives some examples here. Games I've played on easy. Deus Ex, on easy. Then again, twice on normal because I liked it because I have problems with motion sickness. Interesting. Bioshock Infinite, FPS problems, but went back to play on normal and then finished it. Last of Us, he played on easy just because he mainly wanted to finish the story and play my way instead of the forced stealth. Specific questions. Chris, when you have to start, fighting humans, I'm guessing in Last of Us, you'll have a better time. I'm thinking about playing it on normal, but I only need to play that game once I feel period.
What? I have considered switching it over to easy just so I could get through it faster.
Sure.
You know,
I really don't see why not.
You know, it really boils down to, you know, more than anything, I think it's it's the word I'm looking for. A pride thing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
a lot of people. Yeah. Dude, I've seen people post shit like, I'm going to play on hard because I'm not a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. It's like, it's a video game. Like, how about you go out and play a sport instead of, you know, if you feel that way, instead of playing a video game, you know? It's like, but, yeah, I mean, I've thought about it. I have done that with, mostly with, I'll do that with like first person shooters, because I'm just not I'm not amazingly good at first person shooters most of the time. That's gotten better though with a lot of like aim assist and stuff like that. But, in general, like especially in the past first person shooters, I'd usually stick them on easy just to get through them.
Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, dudes, for some time now, I've been feeling like I want to play games on easy just to get through them quicker, especially the linear ones. Open world games, I've not found the need to play on easy. LOL, maybe I'm getting old. Currently 40 years old. Sorry for all the
damn
text.
You old.
I did not know he was 40 years old.
Till next time, right. Bender.
Thank you, Bender.
Thank you, Bender.
Totally. Yeah, with linear games especially, that's a good point. You know, sometimes I just want to go to a movie theater and, you know, watch a movie. And that's why I put Uncharted on easy. Better yet,
maybe I should put Walking Dead on easy. Is there an easy mode on that?
No. It's already on easy.
This
Chris.
Is true. This is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not that hard.
No.
At all.
I really don't. Like, I think Last of Us actually is a good example because, Chris, you're getting frustrated with the combat. And you know what?
It's
not the greatest.
That's the thing. It's not even
more frustrating than fun for me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not even that for me right now. It's just that, you know, it's very much a mindset thing. And, you know, I will definitely beat this game before we go into Game of the Year. There's no doubt in my mind. It's just a matter of me going back to it. And, you know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I had that one frustrating moment, but in reality, I didn't have any other frustrating times up to that point. You know, so, Gotcha. You know, up to that point, it was actually relatively easy. I mean, I actually thought, I got the feeling that some other people are getting that it's like, how are you not seeing me? You know, it's like, look, my head is sticking right out. You see, here I am, you know, and, but, you know, it's something that you look past because you know that, you know, they can't make games perfect, right? And if they did, they would be overly frustrating. So, you know, it's a balance, and I think they did a good job with the balance. And, you know, it's just getting used to the stealth and then just me going back to it, because more than anything, I was frustrated that I didn't get to, in my last situation, that it didn't checkpoint me at any point during that encounter.
The checkpoints in that game could be pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, don't worry. I am going back to that game. It's just a matter of when. So.
Hell, the game I played today that coined the phrase Super the Fucking Jason mode, Banana Commando Rearmed.
Yeah, no doubt.
I played that on easy.
That game is, so that was a pride one. Cause for me, that was a pride one. Cause I played that on normal because hell, I beat that game on normal on Super NES. On NES. I should be able to beat it with a new one. And that's, it took me a little longer, but I did end up beating it. But yeah, I would definitely not feel ashamed about putting that game on easy at all. Cause that one is brutal.
Mm-hmm. At Strider 1 and 2, there's not really necessarily an easy mode or normal, but I cranked all my lives up to max and my health like that.
Mm-hmm.
Witcher 2, I played on easy. It's basically games that I hear when I read reviews and hear people talking about that they're really hard. Like, gaming just comes down to, especially with like three of us and people around our age, like a Bender and anyone, I'd say between the ages of... It doesn't really... Anyone who has...
You know, a daily career job and, you know, maybe they have a relationship,
family,
like a family.
Kind of stuff.
You know, it boils down to how much time do I have to dedicate to games? And you want to try and get as much game time in as you can. So, yeah, of course you're going to put things on easy. There's nothing wrong with that at all, I don't think.
No, I'll try not to do it and stuff. I never do it with first-person shooters just because I figure I played enough of them. It shouldn't be that bad. But games are not like Catherine. I put on easy because I heard that was really hard.
Yeah, I would put that one on easy too. I would put that one on easy too.
So I mean, and I don't think there's any shame in it whatsoever if people do that. It's a game. Whatever makes you enjoy it more than you normally would, go for it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
The best way to do it. Fuck anyone who tells you otherwise. Look at you. You suck because you played on fucking easy or normal. Nah. Fucking enjoy it.
Fucking jerks.
I agree.
Yep.
So, yeah. Hey, we got another email.
Do it.
Should I read
it?
Hey, and dudes.
What's up?
This is from Yurtigo from the forums.
Oh, Yurtigo. Yeah, okay. I recognize him from Twitter.
There we go.
From
I've been listening for a long time, and you guys are great, and blah, 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 blah. He actually said blah, 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 blah. You guys know the rest. I have US DLC codes for an online pass for God of War Ascension and cool. Zeus and Isaac Clarke. For All Stars, are we reading off codes?
Yeah, just read them. What the hell?
Yeah, just
live,
read them off.
Recorded.
First person to put it in their PSN account wins.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. So this is for the All Stars DLC. Booby for booby neutered, Pan Galactic, Alpha.
Pan Galactic is going to confuse people.
Pan Galactic is one word, people.
I know.
Pan Galactic, Gargle Blaster. No. All right. Let's start back at P. For Pan Galactic.
Penis.
Apple.
Over that.
Neutered. 3-6-3 Poolside 8.
Poolside. Nice.
If nobody gets now I feel bad. Should I just read it off? No.
No, that's even
fine.
Better.
That's the challenge.
Just keep it the way it is. Right. That leaves a little
by the way, that DLC is for Zeus and what's his name? Right?
Isaac Clarke.
Isaac Clarke, thank you.
For PlayStation All Stars. This is for the God of War Ascension stoof. Let's see. This is Limburger. Mary.
Limburger.
Jason. Down. Queen. Jason. Neutered. Elephant.
Are you pressing
Queen?
X?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Deciduous. California.
California.
And ass face.
Ass face.
You can use them for yourselves or give them away on the podcast, which we just did. Keep up with a great podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We need to play some All Stars again. We haven't played that in a while.
I want to watch that movie again.
Hell.
Not really, but that's okay.
We should talk about it next week.
Well, we should talk about it next week. We'll get to that in a minute. I do have another voicemail. Let's do this one.
Okay.
Hey, yo, what's up, Bendis? It's your boy 50, a.k.a. Ferrari. It's 50.
What?
Nah,
what?
What? Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Chris, a.k.a. the ex-CEO.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
hey,
what's up, Maggie?
I'm real late on this whole in-the-box thing, but what I would like to see in the box.
What you got?
HDMI cables, of course. Two controllers. A game would be nice and not required since both systems have free-to-play games on launch, so that's cool. Would also like to see rechargeable batteries in the Xbox One, but that's not going to happen. So, yeah, that's probably it. Oh, also, PlayStation Plus, a year subscription, a free year subscription to PlayStation Plus. That should begin all the launch day edition PlayStation 4.
Might as well say live, too. Yeah,
they should all have a year of Xbox Live Gold included in the box. Would be really nice. Probably won't happen, but yeah. That's pretty much it, guys. I haven't called in a minute, but it was good to listen to you, and I'm glad you finally got on Stitcher. Because that's what I use on my Android phone. So yeah, get at you people later. Peace.
Thanks, Aggie.
Thank you, Aggie.
Stop cluttering up my fucking Twitter feed.
Aggie, you are the reason we are on Stitcher, just so you know. Oh, God.
I thought that was
something I was
going to
say. I was totally going to say something, and I completely forgot. Yeah. Rechargeable batteries. I mentioned that last time when we did that question of the week. That's definitely my big thing is that, all things equal, should mean all things equal. I mean, throw a rechargeable battery in that controller. There's no reason not to. My opinion.
For the people.
Do it for the people.
For
the people.
And that is, I think that's all our voicemails and emails, right?
I think so.
All right. Should we do question of the week?
Yeah.
Sure.
You guys want to do the one that I mentioned earlier?
Oh, it's so
we
bad,
got nothing
though.
Else.
It's, but that's what's going to be good about it is it's so what? Bad. All right. So we want you guys to give us good and bad examples of video games and video game accessories as props in movies. And,
so not video game movies.
Not video game movies. Actual video games and accessories as props in movies. And we'll talk about the wizard. So you don't have to send that one in. Send in other things that we might not know.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. So in order to answer the question of the week, you can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337. You can check us out on Twitter. I'm not even going to stop anymore. I'm just going to go. You can check us out on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast and individually. Yes.
Ah, got you to stop.
Dick. Individually, we are Indus Chris, Unistrike. It's pronounced Una.
Jackass.
Not Una.
Unistrike.
Unistrike.
No.
And Indus Geoff.
Geoff.
Facebook, Steam, and Google Plus. Check us out. Search for Interactive Distractions and you'll find us. And we are on Stitcher, as Aggie said. Search for Interactive Distractions there too. And then come to Retroids and join the forums and join the conversations. And I think that's it.
All right.
Are we good?
That's more than Stardock has done.
Hey-ho!
Oh, they're going to ruin my game, aren't they?
Yup.
Oh, fuck.
Our game, Chris.
Our game. That's right, Jason. I'm sorry.
Now's a good time to bring up that you should just go ahead and download Star Control 2 Urquan.
The Urquan Masters. Yes.
Yeah. Open source. Get it on SourceForge. Just go
and
that shit.
They released it years ago. We've actually mentioned, Jason's actually mentioned it on the show before, and I completely forgot about it. And the last time they updated the game was actually, it was 2011, which is pretty cool because they put it out like in 2003 or something ridiculous like that. So they are, and there was a post this year as well about a new remix soundtrack. So that's pretty cool.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? They're
passionate
still,
people working
that's
on
right.
That.
Very much so. Cool. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Let's get out of here then. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace or Stitcher, leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next time, my name's Chris.
I'm Jason.
I'm Jim.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.